Hey there, welcome back to the Path to Zion podcast, where we are rediscovering the ancient way. Thank you for joining us here on the program today. And I will say very quickly, because things are going to seem somewhat out of order if you do follow the program, we recorded a video the other day, what is good, what is evil, and is there any way to even know today? I posted that that would be coming live, available, in a couple days. We're kind of hung up in a little bit of editing stuff. I think I may have said some verse references wrong as far as their location, so I'm trying to find some time to correct that. And in the meantime, are you ever in one of these seasons where you feel like every time you read the word, you just see something, and that points you to over here, and that points you to over there, and you have some sort of clarity towards like things that Father's saying, and some things seem like really applicable to your life, and some things don't, but are still equally fascinating, because the word of Yahweh Elohim, friend, is living and active. And something that's living and active is meant to be bubbling up inside of us and causing us joy and excitement. And, you know, sometimes people say, but like, well, what are you supposed to do with that? Or is that a salvation issue? Well, friend, the word of Yahweh is just something, again, we want to meditate on it day and night. When we rise up and when we lie down, it is to be something that we consume and ruminate on. You know, I'm thinking of my cattle that are probably only 50 yards outside the wall here, who are just sitting there chewing on what they've consumed. And friend, I hope you do that. I hope you know that. I hope it brings you excitement and joy and purpose, direction for your life, because there's just nothing. There's literally nothing like that. This incredible written word we've been given that is then breathed upon and given life, that is not just mere words, to reveal Father's wonderful, wonderful ways. Today, what we're going to talk about is something just very simply titled provision. This is something, a commentary I posted over on our pages. If you don't follow those, most mornings those get posted on there, just some commentary towards different Bible texts. And we're in an unlikely place, really, to talk about provision, but I was just reading some of Yeshua's goings-on of his life and things that were transpiring, and of course, we're heading into the Passover season. And so Matthew chapter 11 is where we're going to be. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. I'll go ahead and put them on here just for the sake of time. Right there. And so you can follow along. There's some interesting things in this text that I just want to highlight on. It's nothing deep. It's nothing like very, you know, we're not unearthing, you know, ancient secrets here. It's just a discussion about some interesting things that I find fascinating about Yeshua's life and him walking alongside men like you and me, individuals who are just ignorant in so many ways and just, I don't understand who you are, Master. Like, I'm sorry, but, and he knew that and he understood, and he, of course, was very patient with them, thankfully, as he is with us as well. So we're just going to read this text here. And now as they draw near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany, to the Mount of Olives, Yeshua sent two of his Talmudim, his taught ones, his students. And he says to them this, quote, go into the village ahead of you. Right away as you enter it, you will find a colt, a foal, tied up that no one has ever sat upon. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say the following. And I'm going to have to give a little bit of a precursor here, because we're going to unpack some questions I have towards this text specifically in translations. And so Yeshua says, if anyone says to you as you're walking off with their animal, why are you doing this? Say, the master needs it. Here's the point of emphasis we're going to have to talk about for a minute. And right away, he will send it back here. Let's just keep reading and we'll come back to this. Verse 4, they went and they found the colt outside in the street tied at the door. And they untied it. Some people standing there began saying to him, what are you doing untying the colt? A very logical question, I would say. In verse 6, they answered, just as Yeshua had told them, and the people let them go. Now, before we even get to my commentary towards this, I have really been trying to practice a more broad approach of translation error and issue and concern. We have to be, we've talked about this for years here on the program, back even when we were doing audio only. One thing we've got to realize is just because a book says Holy Bible on the front does not mean that is Yahweh's inerrant perfection laced word. Okay, we have to understand that, because I know this is offensive, but if you're talking with someone who has ears to hear and patient and understanding and gentle, you can say, like, and this is the way I've said it. I've tried to explain this to my son. We have to be careful that, like, because if I took the Bible, if I picked the translation and I did a Path to Zion translation, and I made it what I think it should say this. I think that's what Yeshua meant. I think that's what he was trying to convey in this Matthew 11 account. I think this is what he really meant. And if I did that through the entirety of the word, and then I had it bound and wrapped in leather and embossed with gold Holy Bible on the front, and I put it in the store, I'm just saying, is that Yahweh's inerrant holy word? Is that the Bible that Father spoke through the prophets and the writers and authors throughout all these ages? Well, yes and no. It would have parts and pieces of his perfect word written through the pens of men, and it would have error. And friends, I'm just saying, we have to really be careful of weeding through the error part, because without the proper time, and this is why I think it's key that we've been told in the Word to study, to show yourself approved. I believe we will be held responsible for what we personally study and know and apprehend and apply upon what we learn. Now, are we all going to be flawed? Yes. Will I ever get this perfect? No. That's not the goal, or else we would say, throw it all out. It's all tainted. The scribes have ruined everything. People do that. I don't believe we have to go that far. I say all of that to say this. In the Hebrew Gospels, which I have been spending a lot more time reading over the last 60 days or so specifically, so far, you know, into this year at least, I'm finding a lot of discrepancies in the Hebrew Gospel wording when I read sometimes as many as 6, 7, 8 translations. Now, we know the translations are often different, but when I look and when I pair this text here, even in Mark chapter 11, with the Hebrew Gospels, even in just this account, there are discrepancies, differences. So I will say this part, and then we'll move further into the commentary part of today's episode. When we are talking about Yeshua sending his disciples to go get this colt, this foal, the Hebrew Gospels say it like this. Not a huge difference, but something that I believe is worth mentioning and talking about as we try to understand, why are we doing this? We're trying to understand what it must have been like in real life to walk out these instructions and counsel and see Father's hand of provision uniquely, like experientially. You know, to place ourselves within what we believe is a true account, of historical account of how these things unfolded with Yeshua, the Son of the Most High, Father providing things that were necessary for these events to transpire, and real life men and women walking alongside Yeshua, and then even other players in these accounts, which are people on the outside of the intimate details of what's going on, but these things greatly affect them as well. Provision involves a lot of people, a lot of components. I really want to drive that home in this brief discussion today. But to our point about the Hebrew Gospels versus most every translation I saw, in verse 3, it's quite different. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Tell them, this is Yeshua instructing them, tell them the master needs it. Now that's in there. But The text where it says, and right away he will send it back here, which is even in the King James, it says, you know, he will return it, you know, therewith or something, you know, and it the wording that follows most translations is he will immediately send the foal back. He will immediately send the colt back to you. And so in other words, and this is going to matter, friend, I promise. When they go and Yeshua gives them this very precise scenario, you're going to find a colt, he's going to be right inside the gate, he's going to be tied up. Untie him and take him. And if someone says something to you, tell them this. I'm just saying, in the Hebrew Gospels account, it says it this way. Why are you doing this? Tell them the master needs it, and immediately they will let the colt go. Okay, so here's the thing. Immediately is there. Immediately is within the text. It seems that in the original Hebrew Gospel account, immediately is there, but it doesn't say, oh, and by the way, he's going to immediately bring it back to you. We will bring it back. It will be returned to you immediately. In fact, it says, immediately they will comply with what you tell them. To me, this is a very different scenario for who? The owner of the colt, the owner of this animal, okay? Because this changes a lot of things, because I like to think of the whole sphere of people who are involved in what Yeshua was doing. And that's why provision is right here, okay? We know that Yahweh provides for circumstances that he needs to take place to accomplish his will, his prophesied will and way. Let's move to the commentary part, and we'll come back to this point a little bit as we go. In this age, there are an endless list of self-proclaimed prophets, preachers who, just because they stand behind a pulpit or have a bishop, apostle, evangelist of worldwide, you know, global international ministries.com, just because they have these titles and these positions and functions, they believe that they have the ability to take and apprehend a doctrine, we'll say, a pattern of how Yahweh provides. He is a father who provides for his people. But that has been apprehended and twisted to use something that is always giving us gain, that is always giving us provision, in the sense of provision for our benefit, for our advancement, maybe is a better word, because following Yahweh's will is for our benefit, but not in a way that the twisting of Father's provision is portrayed, if that makes sense. A lot of times it is personal wealth, and it is personal gain, and it is advancement in your job, and it is, you know, all these worldly temporal promises. But Father's provision is much greater than this. It's much grander than that. Now, in his provision and his acts of provision, we'll say, we are invited to be partakers. We are invited to join in with what he's doing, depending on where we fall in our life, alongside even accounts like this, which is why we're highlighting Matthew 11. And so here, as we see with many instances in the Bible, Father provides what is necessary for the work at hand to be accomplished, what he desires to see transpire. Here, the Son instructs his taught ones very specifically to go out and get a colt, and not just get a colt, go to town and find one. He tells them where it will be standing and that it will be tied up. He's telling them the necessary details so that if they're listening and obeying, which in this case they do, they will be able to fulfill what Yeshua is requiring of them. He even goes as far as to tell them what they will need to speak when someone responds to what we have to say is a very odd request. Okay? It's a very odd request. Now, odd in our comprehension, but we have to understand, and this isn't in my notes or anything, and we can't take the time to do this. Hosanna, Hosanna. Okay? That's just on the heels of what we're going to talk about. These people were gathered and assembled for a whole lot more than just a casual afternoon. So I'm not saying that these people that were involved in this and the disciples and Yeshua, of course, was well informed. I believe everybody within the situation, which we're not in, were very aware of, like, oh, I think I know what's going to happen here. I think we're about to see something. I don't think they were completely ignorant, but also I'm not sure how engaged they were with putting all the pieces together. They would probably be slow like I would be if I was right there in the circumstance. But in this case, his students, the disciples, they do well. But the purpose of the instruction, as well as their following the instruction, was not about their own glory at all. And perhaps we have to say it was probably a little bit awkward, right? Sometimes we're asked to do things that are just a little bit awkward and don't really feel right, don't really make us feel like, oh man, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I want to carry out this instruction. I don't know if I want to say that to someone. This is real practical life, I believe, that makes it all the way into us today. But the provision that Yeshua informed them of, about this colt right inside the gate that's tied up, was going to be all for the Father's glory. It had very little to do with them. They were just invited to be participants in what was going on. It was used as a component of demonstrating Father's glorious plan for his son. The provision here, I think, reminds me a little bit of Abraham and Isaac on the mountain of testing, where there was something that was needed and Father provided. In this case, interestingly, the animal that was needed, okay? Through something that, whether we want to call it supernaturally swayed or influenced, or whether we just want to say that Yeshua noticed that there was a colt tied up there, and he knew that the people would probably say, hey, what are you doing with my animal? That's not, I don't think it takes supernatural understanding or some super deified mind to perceive that people might say, hey, why are you taking my animal? What do you think you're doing? All that where it needs to fall. I want to put our minds into all of the participants within this account here in Matthew 11, 1 through 6. Father's will and way and the specifics therein are all to bring him glory that he deserves by design. There are some very unique specifics here in this text. I mean, we're only looking at 5-6 verses. And so the question is, what about us? What about us in the intricate details of our life where we can hear what's being asked of us? We can trust circumstances that are just a little bit odd. I don't know if I like this. I'm not comfortable with this instruction. And then even the times, I don't know if it's happened to you, it's happened to me many times throughout my life, which is the Father instructs me to say something that's very awkward and very unnerving to someone and to me who has to speak it. I don't have to, but we're invited to be a part of whatever Father's doing. Can we obey what we hear? When we hear, when we know what he's speaking, will we have the boldness and courage to believe that, I guess this is all part of Father's provision for an end or an event or a step in a process that maybe I just don't see yet and I don't have to. I just want to go like these men did. This is something that is good for the disciples. We can talk of them. A lot of times we're hard on them. How could they? In this case, the two were very obedient to what the master said. Go and get this. This is where it's going to be. Say this when you find it. They did this perfectly. And because of that, they were invited to be a major component in part of delivering an animal, which seems it's just a colt, big deal. Well, what happened in the next few moments was a very big deal as the garments of themselves and of all these other people, well, the disciples put it on the animal and then the rest threw their cloaks on the ground and the palm branches are waving and, oh, rescue us. The imagery here is for another day. But we are invited, all of us, all the components within us, okay? And I want to highlight these people just for a moment. Of the ones who owned the colt. Okay, let's just talk about them for literally 2 minutes because they are players in this, friend. we may not really think about them or even see them. We would probably be prone to just glance right over them and not really even give them any attention whatsoever. And I think if we do that, we miss the entirety of the text. There are people who own an animal and it's tied up at the by the gate for whatever reason, and they are brought into this ongoing unfolding scenario. And because the disciples were clear to say what Yeshua told them, they responded with whatever they did, we're not told, but they ultimately said, you can go. You know, they allowed the animal to go with these men. Okay? Here's my challenge. If we stick to the Hebrew Gospels, they are not told that the animal will be immediately returned. Excuse me, immediately returned. Other translations say the master needs it, and right away he will send it back here. If it's actually true that they were not told that, like the Hebrew Gospels leaves out, if they were not told, but if in fact they were instead, just like they were responsible to respond rightly, as Yeshua said they would, if they immediately let the animal go, that's a little different proposition for those folks, if you understand what I'm saying. Because if we read the popular translation, we could say, well, what's the big deal if they let the animal go? Because, well, right there it says that the master needs it, and right away, immediately, he will send the animal back. So they're thinking, well, as long as you're just borrowing it for a minute, then we're okay with that. It's not quite as much cost. You know what I'm saying? If the Hebrew Gospels text is true, they're not told your animal's coming back. So all of a sudden, and if we understand ownership of animals at the time, and we're not going to get into all of what this animal could have been and its value and all that. We're not going to lose the heart of the matter here. All I'm trying to do is say there are components and pieces of Father's provision and how he orchestrates things to happen where so many people are invited to be involved in the whole work that he's desiring to bring to pass. And all of it has his provision painted all over it, like Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain to be tested. Father's provision is going to be all over this thing. He will provide. He does provide. He does what is necessary to accomplish his purposes. And the only hang up is you and me. The only hang up is all of us who are invited to be players in what is unfolding for his provision. We are, by Father's wonderful design, included in the plans that he has on the earth entirely. We receive the reward of joining into the works of our Creator. What an incredible gift that is for us, I would say. Within this principle that we're looking at here in Matthew chapter 11, talking about Father's provision, we're given a glimpse, I believe, of what Yeshua best personified, a humble servant whose literal existence was to bring honor and glory to his Father's great name. And he was postured perfectly to be what? Tell me, Father. Tell me where to go. Tell me what to say. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to say when someone else says something. Father, my ears are tuned to your spirit speaking to me. My ears are tuned to your spirit speaking to me, Father. I'm listening. And here's the question and why I'm bringing this up today. Are we so yielded as in this case, is all the players in this tiny little peek into Yeshua riding in on a colt? Are we so obedient and yielded as these? Father will provide, yes, again and again and again, he will provide. But please hear this. Sometimes, friend, and this goes back to where we started now, where God's provision, blessing, favor, blessing, favor. Okay, well, here is the flip side of that. Let's be full, let's be fair, and let's be whole towards what provision means according to Father's will and ways. Sometimes we will be the ones going to get the colt. Sometimes we will be the ones that Master says, go get that animal. And sometimes we'll be the one watching our animal walk away. You get the connection of why now the Hebrew Gospels account version stands out? Because sometimes we will be the ones going to get the animal for Father's provision. And sometimes we will be the one watching our possession walk away from us. And we have to let it go. Why? Same reason, same purpose, to accommodate and allow for and to be a willing participant in Father's wonderful provision. No matter which side we are on, Father gets the fame. He gets the honor. He gets the glory. When we embrace His wonderful will, the best that we know how, we get to see and be a part of His awesome provision. What Father is orchestrating now is vast on this earth in this age. We're in the culmination of the ages, man. It's just like right here. It's right here. So the question is this. What is the Father orchestrating around you? What is He inviting you into that He's doing, that He is making provision now? He's setting things in places. He placed that colt in that area just inside the gate, tied up with those individuals that would allow the Talmudim, the disciples of the Master, to take it. He orchestrated all of these events, friend, perfectly, as He's doing today. So the question is, how can we read this and apply it right here, right now in our own lives? What is Father orchestrating today? I want to be somebody who sees it. I want to notice it. I want to hear, okay, that person is going to ask me that question. Oh, Father, let Your Spirit speak to me so that I have an answer, so that I have a response. What does the response do? It brings about Father's provision upon the earth, on earth as it is in heaven. Why? So that we too can be a tiny little part and piece of Father's great advancement of His ways on the earth. Friend, we are invited to be a part of Father's wonderful provision. You've been watching the Path to Zion podcast. We're rediscovering the ancient way. Thank you so much for watching. Send us an email at pathtozionpodcast@gmail.com. Again, we're having issues with subscriptions and notifications and all that. Make sure you click the notification button if you want to continue to get content from this channel. Otherwise, thank you so much for watching. I hope we're hearing what the Spirit is saying in this hour. There's plenty. May we have ears to hear. Amen.